making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Is there something going on with you and Belichick?
No, I mean, I love him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love that he's an incredible, you know, coach, mentor for me. And he's pushed me in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And like everything, we don't agree on absolutely everything.
Yeah.
But that's relationships.
That's relationships.
Yeah.
What my orange crush.
Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe is with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. Hi, Dan. How are you? Nice to see you.
Hi, Beetle. I'm good. How are you?
How you doing?
Good. What'd you make of this? What'd you make of the interview with Brady?
Well, first of all, I didn't watch it. Second of all, I feel like I've watched it because I've read all the excerpts. I've heard those clips.
Oh, you've heard it. We pounded it.
Well, you've got thoughts on it then. Yeah. You didn't have
of
to
course.
Watch the entire thing.
I have
know
thoughts.
What he said. You've heard.
I
think we've pretty much played the entire thing.
So you didn't see Jim Gray?
Any part you didn't hear, we can play for you.
You didn't
see
Jim Gray?
I saw that on Twitter and I retweeted it.
Tommy?
It's so idiotic.
Tommy?
What is he doing there?
I think he's the liaison. I think he's the tweener. I think he's the handler in that situation. They all went out to dinner, right? Because he said to Oprah during the interview, you could ask my wife later tonight, meaning we're going to go out to dinner. I bet you Jim Gray was at that dinner,
Jim
too.
Gray, not a bad guy. He should just hang it up. Professionally, he has become such a joke.
What's the attachment with athletes in this guy?
He might as
really?
Well be Richard Dawson or somebody now. You know,
but what's the attachment?
Just
LeBron?
Guy.
Him? Brady?
Well, I mean, what is his job? What does he even do?
As far as I'm concerned, he's just a sock puppet, a stooge for Tom Brady now. So when you have one of these paid for bottom feeder conventions, you can bring Jim Gray in to be the guy saying, well, Tom, you know, that thing. I mean, it's just obnoxious. He has lost all journalistic credibility, if there ever was any. I don't even know. But I guess
he's not a journalist.
Remember he asked Pete Rose the hard question coming off the field. He was pushing him about.
Yeah. People were pissed at him about that.
Big time. You know, and it was like he was Dan Rather or somebody, Edward Morrow. You know, I mean, he was pushing it against the grain, and it was a good moment for Jim Gray, I thought.
His boxing stuff is pretty good. In the ring stuff with some of the I mean, but that's what he was known for.
I did not know that. I mean, and you know, then there was the decision, which, you know, was a career.
That was the beginning of the end.
It could have been a career ender for a lot of people, but you know, they all kind of moved on, and LeBron was recovered from it, and Jim Gray actually never did, because then he's on to, well, Tom, you know, in that preposterous what is that radio thing they do? Is that on our air?
Westwood One. Halftime. He does halftime Westwood.
A lot of people.
Nope.
Good.
Rip away.
Because that thing is ridiculous. You know, it's preposterous. You know, and now this, like, showing up in Salem State, whatever that big money conference was with I plead the fifth, and now this thing again. He's just become like his Saint John the Baptist or his stooge, his, you know, Tom's guy. Who's just going to stay there and not do anything to push anything.
Okay, so now that you've got your Jim Gray thing out of the
way,
what do you make of the comments that Brady has made about retirement?
Again, Zoe, I ask you, you've been around. You're a quarterback. You play in the NFL. You know Tom. We love Tom. What happened to him? What has happened to him? Do we blame it all on Super G? Do we...
it's a big piece of the pie, sure.
I mean, is it Alice Guerrero? I mean, he
another
is
another piece of the pie.
He is Tom Cruise. There's no exaggeration now. I mean, just bring on the Scientology, jump on the couch. I mean,
I think he's finally starting to realize, wow, my kids do not have a normal life.
I don't understand why she gets the blame in this.
Well, I mean,
why Giselle is at all to blame?
Because
she's bigger than him.
He was nothing like
so
this.
So what? But what does that have to do with it?
He was nothing
he's
like
pretty
this
big.
10 years.
What does that have
ago?
To do with it? With him retiring and when he decides to retire?
No, I just think everything all is. The way he approaches life now.
The change.
His awareness of everything.
All the changes in him coincide with that relationship, in my view. I mean,
but
from my distance.
Okay, but from a year ago.
Never used to promote the brand. You know, always was the first guy, the parking space, all that stuff. It's not just a guy having kids and getting older and, you know, the way we all do. I mean, this is like, no. I mean, the rejection of Western medicine, the bottom feeding, the branding.
Right, but Dan, a year ago, he told Peter King.
Oh,
after
okay.
The Super
so you're
Bowl,
talking about in the last
he
year.
He sat down with Peter King and was talking about playing until his mid-40s and then reassessing then if he still felt good, he was going to keep going. Oh. And at that point, when he sat down and did that interview with Peter King, he had already admitted publicly in another interview right after the Super Bowl that Giselle wanted him to hang it up.
Sure.
He admitted that publicly, and then he did the Peter King interview saying, but I'm not giving it up. I'm going until my mid-40s, and then if I still feel good, I'll reassess, and it's mid-40s and beyond. And now, one calendar year later, in an off-season interview with Oprah, it's a 180. Oh, well, I think about it more than ever now, and it's sooner rather than later. What happened in the 1 year? Okay. That's not Giselle.
And he said, okay, it was easier to turn the page after the Eagles lost because his kids were there. I disagree with it. I think losing that game has sort of sent him into this funk where you're in a Peter King's interviewing. You were down 28-3. You're down 28-3. You came back and won that game.
And Dan,
Brady was not good in that first half. He played better in the Eagles game than he did in the Atlanta game.
Okay.
Which
is perfect example to say trying to sit there and criticize the work ethic or approach to the game is moronic. He's the best quarterback in the game.
Yep.
Like, what's the point? Why are we even bothering
but
talking
it's like,
about that?
I think he looks at it as, okay, I play for Super Bowls, and we play to win the whole damn thing. And two of these last two, I've thrown for about 1,000 yards and put the team in spots to win. We won one, we lost the other. And you're breaking my balls over taking my guy away that makes me feel good.
Well,
and I got a problem with it.
Sure.
That's it.
That's it.
This was the jump-off point, removing him from the team.
Yeah, I'll go along with that. If you want to talk about the last year, changing last year, I'd go along with that.
It was sent into the funk through that.
And that's why it's a legit question.
That's when the blow up in Buffalo happened.
It's his tolerance for working under Bill and working for the Patriots now in a different spot than where it was a year before.
Yeah, I think they're both at a critical point.
Because it's not his wife. As much as people want to say that his wife is the reason and people say she's a big, you just said she's a big part of it.
She's a big part of it, I think.
Not a new situation.
He may want to spend more time with her and the family.
I don't think that's
this may
either.
Not be possible.
And I think that's twisting what she has said at times, because what she said is this is a very dangerous thing that this guy participates in. And oh, by the way, he's my husband and the father of my kids. And what he does is dangerous. She didn't say he's got to quit because he needs to come spend time with us. He's got plenty of time to spend with his family. It's not about that. It's about moving on to the next thing. It's about going into business now with Alex and the clinics and the TB12 brand and books and meal plans and everything else that he's got ahead of him. It's not about quit, come home, and hang around the house during the day. It's stop doing that thing over there. Stop playing football. That's dangerous. That can hurt you. Even though the quarterback position is better protected now than it's ever been, I understand the argument. I understand that.
And doesn't the next thing... Doesn't the attachment to the next thing seem to be, I don't know, disproportionately enlarged? I mean, that it's going to become global, worldwide. Like, he's so famous now. And he's so great at what he does. I mean, he's not going to have that kind of success in the next thing. I mean, very few people do.
Right.
And he'll be another guy in a niche with people trying to sell their goods and have the solution and the way to do it. But it's... I could be wrong. Maybe it'll become bigger than Google. I don't know. But my suspicion is it'll be just another alternative for workouts or lifestyle, whatever. And it's just one of a million. He's one of one now. He's the biggest thing there is in pro sports, in football. And now he's going to be... But the next thing seems to be so important. And it's beyond money or fame. It's truly... He truly believes. And this is where I get into the cult thing. You know, it's disproportionately important in my view, and that's what I don't understand. Like, why is it so important? Everybody thinks they figured it out. You know, you guys got your whatever those weight loss things are, and you promote. And I mean, there's all those things. You know, but it feels like this is his most important thing. I mean, obviously his family and all that. It's more important than the Patriots now. I think we're all in agreement on that. And I don't like it. I don't like having to hear Oprah or have the book sold. Or it's all about commercials. These things are all commercials, infomercials. And it's like, that's why I don't want to watch it. I don't need to watch another infomercial. Yeah. You do that at 2:30 in the morning. You can't sleep.
Yeah, Supreme Greens. It's about the time that those infomercials air. 617-779-0985. Your thoughts on the Tom Brady interview and also some other answers, including his relationship with Tom Brady. What does Dan think about that answer? The pause, the and the I love him. We'll get to that coming up. And your calls next.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What, is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't want to hear anything out of your mouth alluding to how the end is near. I don't want to hear that out of your mouth. And it ain't even been a year yet that Jimmy Garoppolo is gone. I mean, you weren't saying that stuff when Jimmy Garoppolo was there. You were sitting up there talking about, yo, man, I got years left. I'm ready to roll.
Take care of my body.
TB12, the trainer. I mean, your model at the crying out loud. I don't want to hear that now. I mean, this is something that I would have wanted to hear prior to Jimmy Garoppolo being traded. But now that Jimmy Garoppolo is gone, for Tom Brady to do this now is clearly a shot at Bill Belichick. I mean, he basically gave him the middle finger. I mean, if you really, really want to look at it. Because by bringing that up and alluding to retirement, you know, Max, that anybody with sense is going to go like this. Damn, they just traded Jimmy Garoppolo. We didn't hear this from Tom Brady when Jimmy Garoppolo was there. I mean, he really pulled a fast one. If I'm Bill Belichick, I'm looking at Mr. Kraft, and I'm like, really? You see this? You see this right now?
Stephen A. Smith.
You know what I like about him? He gets more worked up about this than a lot of Patriots people do.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, I think a healthy part of it is legit. He's not just doing it for effect.
He's a passionate guy.
I like the passion.
He's a passionate guy.
And what he said, makes a lot of sense.
Of course it
does.
Are
you watching this? Are you? Do you see what happened?
Damn.
Dan, do you like Stephen A?
Love Stephen A.
I do too. And if you've ever met him, if you ever have a chance to meet Stephen A, take him up on that. Just like, this guy's cool. Yeah. Like, this guy.
We used to do...
he looks cool as hell, man. I saw him at the Super Bowl, and he walked by. I didn't know he was 6'5".
Oh, he's very athletic.
But he had a nice suit when he got up. He had that wheelie bag behind him, one of those Maz wheelie bags. Yeah.
Why are you talking like that?
I don't know. I just morphed into Stephen A. Smith. I'm so angry now. Jimmy Garoppolo was here.
In an earlier life.
That's it. Jim played that damn, and it set me into it. Sorry, Dan.
When I did the Jim Rome is Burning show.
Yes, we were on there together.
Yeah, we would be together. And it was like, so Jim Rome was the host, and Stephen A. and I. So I didn't have to say anything, because I was...
He just fired up. You wind him up, he goes.
Yeah, he just would go. And I remember they had this like makeup gal there. You know, so you'd go in for makeup, which I desperately need for anything like that. But Stephen A., he traveled with his own. Makeup.
Of course he did.
Yeah, he'd go into the, the little satchel.
Wait a second, his own makeup person.
I know you'd say that. No, he did not travel with his own makeup gal.
Okay, but brought his own makeup though. Easy with a gal too.
He was so much fun. Really fun. I've always loved him. I loved listening to him. I know it's over the top, the whole thing.
It is.
It's great. And he is dead on, as you said, on this whole Brady Patriot thing.
And he used to be with Skip, where Skip is over the top and you find him obnoxious.
Right.
And I never feel that way about Stephen
A. No, and he believes.
I don't.
It seemed like he hated Skip, and you like Stephen A. more because you could relate more to Stephen A. than you could Skip.
Yeah, well, it was Skip.
Of course.
With Skip, you just feel he's just doing it to be contrarian, whatever. But with Stephen, he really believes
it. He believes it, which means when he says,
Skip.
When he says that in that interview with Oprah, that Tom Brady is giving the middle finger, he might as well be giving the middle finger to Bill Belichick, that's what he is doing. And that's the degree to which he took it.
Absolutely. And I'm with Stephen A. And I'm with you guys. Like, I don't understand why more Patriot people aren't more upset about this. And the love for Tom supersedes a lot of the reality of what's happening.
I'll tell you why. I think people are cautious and they're optimistic or hopeful that Tom is completely full of crap and this is some sort of play to get a big contract.
Okay. And the fact that they'll still be in the AFC Championship game and it's not going to affect anything.
Right.
Which is a nice fallback, too. But look out below if they get off to a bad start or, God forbid, you know, don't win every, you know, if they're not 9-1. That'll be not fun around here, or in some cases fun.
What if they are and they're still miserable? What if there's more stories coming out? What if we get to 10-2, you know, 11-3, and here we are heading into Pittsburgh, and wow, there's a report that they haven't spoken a month.
People won't care. They're 11-2.
Thank you.
He's right.
Thank you. Just win.
It'll be upsetting if he actually does walk away soon. Sooner rather than later.
What is soon?
If it at the end of this coming season?
If they win the whole thing.
If they don't win. What if they don't win and he walked away?
And you play.
You'd be pissed.
You play.
And Patriots fans will be pissed.
Oh, yeah.
That will happen. So I think there's this this idea that he's full of crap and he's doing this to get a contract. And then once and if there's a new contract, that everything will be fine. And by the way, they're still going to be good. And he's still going to show up and do the job, we assume.
Right. But don't you get a feeling as we sit here, you know, here in June of 2018, that all these things are going to end badly? I mean, Brady and the Patriots, Belichick and the Patriots, Brady and TB12. I just think there's going to be these bad endings all over the place in the next 10 years or whatever.
10? Wow, that's a long
range
forecast.
Well, I'm talking about, you know, I mean, the TB12 may not happen as quickly as, and I might be wrong. Maybe it'll be this whopping success story.
You know, find it amazing. Here we are, past the middle of June, and we've done an hour and a half on Tom Brady with everything that's going on. The relationship.
And I think 10 years is
still talking about
is a good number too, because it leaves open the possibility of maybe an ownership shift. Maybe if we all assume that Robert at some point is going to say, you know what, you know, Jonathan can handle the day-to-day stuff or something like that. And I have no idea, but that seems to be the accepted, you know,
pecking order, line of command.
The chain of command.
No, and Danny runs the paper.
Yep. Right, and who knows what's going to, you
Josh's
know,
ha- boys and girls clubs
with that. Yep. If Robert's allegiances and his things that he focuses on are going to be the same that Jonathan focuses on. I mean, I think you can expect a lot of stuff to happen over the next, again, to use Dan's number, say 10 years.
Yeah. Let's go to David, who's in the car. Hi, David.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, as a New England fan, you know, I've accepted Brady's time. And, I mean, I don't want him to retire ever. I wish he could play until he's 100. But, I mean, I remember when Bledsoe went down and the thought of Brady, the idea of this guy Brady and who the heck is he coming in to take over our team, I was furious. And he went on to surprise and give me the best sports memories I've ever had. And so I've come to time now, I accept it.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. He earned your love. You will love him forever, no matter what he does.
Bob is in Denham. Hi, Bob.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Bob.
I just want to go on for 1 minute just about Giselle and Tom separately. I find Giselle always have the most overrated, quote-unquote, beautiful woman in the world. I see women every day that I find more attractive than her. Wow. And the vanity on this woman. Remember about 3 or 4 years ago, she made an announcement that she was, quote-unquote, retiring from the runway catwalk.
You're right. Well,
And I go, well, what, are they going to raise her panties to the rafters at the next Victoria's Secret show?
All right, where is this going, Bob?
The attacking of her, I mean, she's one of the most important, beautiful women in the world, or else she wouldn't have the job that she did. Okay, so to sit there and say you see more beautiful women every day than her—that's a little bit of a stretch.
No, it isn't. It's the truth, Zoe.
Okay,
she's wildly overrated, in my opinion.
You're right. She only made $400.
That's your taste, man.
She only made $400 million on her.
And all these other companies that endorse her.
Crazy. What's your point?
Ask around.
What's the point? What is your point, Bob? You suck,
Bob.
Tell me your point.
I can't stand it, man. She's a know-it-all. I can't stand it.
There you go.
I'm just going to hang up on
so
it.
It's more the personality is what
I don't like Giselle.
He has an issue with than the looks.
I don't like her.
She is widely,
she's ugly,
she's widely accepted as a beautiful and accomplished woman.
You really can't understand why Victoria's Secret or all these makeup companies or film companies attach themselves to her.
Wildly
these people are crazy.
Wildly successful, involved in a lot of different
yes.
things, you know, intelligent. And but, you know,
she can play the guitar.
Well, can't do,
she can sing.
Do all kinds of stuff.
She sings that Bruno Mars song all the time.
I think frustration is not just directed at her. It's toward the idea that, you know, this guy who you want to prop up as your own really has really has nothing to do with you and your lifestyle and your day to day. Yeah, we may, you know,
he's prettier woman all the time.
I mean, we live.
Do you know what it is?
We live within miles
what
of each other, and it's like we are universes apart. You know, it's just
right.
It makes it tougher to relate when you see these people.
They're unrelatable.
They're just so. Whether use whatever adjective you want, accomplished or full of themselves or talented or lucky, whatever it is, it's like, wow, that's I you really have to, if you want to continue just to root for it and be a fan of it, you have to remove yourself from the personal aspect of their lives because, yeah, I can't relate to that.
You know,
who can relate to Tom and Giselle?
Nobody, but I can tell you this. Calls like that just tell me that she's going to be the scapegoat because people don't want to just call out Brady for what
they
he
they
says.
Don't want to hang it on Brady.
Because nobody wants to blame Brady because they want Brady to be this perfect guy in their mind for the rest of time. That nothing could possibly be the doing of Tom Brady or the decision of Tom Brady to say the things he has said or make the decisions he is about to make.
You know,
people don't like criticizing Tom Brady, so instead, they'll go after his wife. That's what that is.
To what Hardy's talking about, this unrelatability, there are times and then there's not. To be on the road with the team, and to see the family show up with the mom and dad and the sisters and the nieces and nephews. And there's the old man standing there, and he's got the flip-flops, the shorts, and the baseball hat on. And Tom comes down. Tom's in a T-shirt, sweatpants, and a baseball hat on backwards. And then you see him and her dress up for the Met Gala. And he's got this black coat on with gold trim where he's like, don't film me anymore, okay? You look at him like there is a – you relate to the family aspect of when, okay, there he is, and he looks totally normal. He functions like your family. Hey, there's your mom and dad, or there's your nieces and nephews. And there's the kids coming up to him, hugging him, and they're bouncing him on the knee. And they're hanging out, and they're eating a pizza out there on the patio, on an away game. And it seems normal. And then when he and her get together, that's where, you know, then you know, the Costa Rica stuff, or you, and that's, they're in a different stratosphere. But there was an aspect of Brady where he was pretty normal. Like I talk about the guy with the apple cap shooting stick down at the rack when it used to be the rack back in the day. And nobody would bug him. Guy can't walk anywhere. Can't go anywhere. And he's finally, I think, starting to realize, my kids aren't normal. They can't have a normal life. Even though we try to bring them up the right way. There are aspects of it that we can't control. It's almost like a Michael Jackson.
No, but ask around on Giselle. Ask around if you don't mind, Hardy. Hardy has headlines. Hardy Shaughnessy is with us.
I just want to say one more thing on this, too. Because we get essentially the Facebook version of their lives pretty much every day. Whether they're at the Met Gala or they're in Morocco or whatever.
You're on that yacht throwing balls in a sweater that is see-through. I mean, it's just...
But you can take virtually anyone's life, right? And if you just do the Facebook version of it, they can appear unrelatable. You know, you could do it with Scott Zolak. You can say, look at this guy. He spends his weekends on the Cape or the Vineyard, which a lot of us do. But, yeah, he's also traveling with the team. He flies on the team. He's not one of us anymore. Dan Shaughnessy.
I said with Bob Sosi.
He acts like a regular Boston guy. And then in the next breath, he's talking about co-hosting with Stephen A. Smith, and he's been all around the world. He's not one of us. If you just do the Facebook best version of your life, and that's what gets out there day in and day out, it can make anyone appear unrelatable. Let's just keep it in perspective. I think Zoe's got a point. There are some times when they are, you know, unfairly
portrayed.
You see them
like in those moments, they're like, this is totally
this,
normal.
You know, completely unrelatable version of what we would rather have them be.
And your calls coming up next.
You can count on me.
Sports Hub headlines.
Well, that doesn't help. We do that. Red Sox take on the Twins tonight. It's the first of three on this road trip, or the first of three as they wrap up the road trip after splitting the last four they played against the Mariners in Seattle. Chris Sale to the mound tonight. He's 6-4 in the year with a 2.75 ERA. In hockey, Matt Grizzlick has a new two-year $2.8 million extension with the Bruins. Meanwhile, the Capitals, fresh off their Stanley Cup win, are out of coach. Head coach Barry Trotz says he's all done, tendered his resignation today. He's now a free agent looking for a gig. Senators traded their left winger Mike Hoffman today to the Sharks, who then traded him to the Florida Panthers. All of this because it is alleged that Hoffman's fiance was harassing Captain Erik Karlsson's wife online. World Cup matches, Japan over Colombia today, 2-1. That's final. Poland and Senegal are scoreless in the 31st minute. Later on today, Russia will take on Egypt. Headlines are brought to you by Boston Laser. Do what Gerard Mayo did. Start seeing 2020 with a LASIK procedure at Boston Laser. 866-77-LASER. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong song.
Oh. Zoe and Beetle. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Have you thought about what happens after football for you?
I think about it more now than I would than I used to.
Yeah.
I think now I think that I'm seeing that there's definitely an end coming sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm. What does that end look like? Is that 43? Is it 45?
Yeah.
Is it?
As long as I'm still loving it.
As long as you're loving it, you're going
to
do it.
Yes. Yeah, so, as long as I'm loving the training and the preparation and willing to make the commitment.
Ben Volen writes today in response to those comments, we all know what's going on. Brady is upset with Belichick, who publicly humiliated Alex Guerrero the last year, thereby hurting Brady's TB12 brand. And Brady is tired of Belichick's relentlessly critical style. Says Robert Kraft has said all the right things and defended Brady throughout the offseason, but he has to be fuming. The Patriots appeased Brady by trading away Garoppolo, and Brady responds by skipping the voluntary offseason program and speaking openly about retirement. Thanks, writes Ben Volen in the Boston Globe, which, as I said earlier, Dan, if you're in the if you're at one Patriot place today and you're sitting up there in your office and you see this, you hear what Brady said to Oprah, what are you thinking? Like, what is this? Why are you doing this? If you're ownership, you've got to have some level of anger with Tom Brady.
Yeah, this will be Bob Kraft once again telling us he was duped. You know, whoa, I didn't know we were duped. You know, that's always the fallback with these kinds of things. You know, duped by the commissioner, duped by Aaron Hernandez, you know, duped by whoever. So in this case, they were duped by Tom Brady into making him think he was going to work here 5 more years. So, we can trade Jimmy G. He's not going to be around anyway. So, again, I don't know the mechanics of the salary cap the way you guys do. I would have figured out a way to keep both of these guys and have Garoppolo here this year with the big dough, not playing. That was the way to go. Think of how much better you'd feel about all this now if that had happened.
How Brady feel?
Hmm?
Brady's this bugged already. Ugh,
too bad.
If he was making double.
No, you've got to make a decision. You're getting rid of Brady. You can't keep them around and have Brady a multiple years to go and just put it. You can't put the tag on Garoppolo unless you're saying, we're making the call. He's the guy. We're moving on from Brady.
Now you don't have him, and Tom's making the call.
And you run the risk there of keeping Garoppolo through the end of the year. You run the risk of winning the Super Bowl, if I could put it that way. And then you saying, what? Right? Like, if Bill doesn't bench, Malcolm Butler and Brady wins the Super Bowl, you then do what? Oh, we're putting the tag on Jimmy, and he's going to be the starting quarterback in a year.
And then when you hear, like, then when you hear Tom saying,
I just won you another Super Bowl.
But then when you hear the Oprah interview, you say, yep, that's all down with the plan. It's going to work magically. He's ready. He's going to walk away at the top.
Let's go to Ben, who's in Sterling today. Hi, Ben.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, what's up?
So, first of all, that other caller that said something about Giselle, she's not hot. Like, you kidding me? Come on, dude.
I think we handled that one. Okay.
but besides the point, everybody that I hear the past couple of days is blaming all this on Giselle, blah, 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 blah. Dude, Tom Brady, if he decides to turn into a female like he's trending towards, that's Tom Brady's fault. I definitely like Tom Brady, watch the whole thing, past whatever how long he's been playing. He's very good, best quarterback of all time.
Pretty good.
But he's turning into a complete tool bag, dude. He's turning into his wife, and that's his own fault, not Giselle's.
I don't think the sweater in the Oprah interview helped. I strike the Dr. Seuss look.
I see more of David Bowie, you know, kind of going that way.
Is that Bowie?
Bowie?
Like Bowie. A Bowie?
Who's
name?
Bowie. Dr. Dre. No, I mean, the transformation is more in that direction.
Physically or...
You're saying Ziggy Stardust or...
Yeah.
Style-wise, what is...
Yeah, his cheekbones and...
It feels like there's been some changes.
Yeah, he's very thin.
Yeah.
For a football player.
Feels like there could have been some changes.
He's very stylish.
At some point.
Nice, handsome.
Nice
man.
Teeth.
Of course.
We're all jealous. I know that.
Jay and Saugus. Jay.
Man's a room, man.
Jay's got a show suggestion from earlier. Hi,
what do you got, Jay?
Hey, guys. I got one word for you. Barry on HBO. Check out the reviews.
It's, hi, Barry.
Bill Hader from, he's the cop in Superbad. And he's a guy that ex-military, now hitman, looking to get out, finds himself in an acting troupe out in L.A. doing both, and it's hilarious with a great plot line, and wait for it, it also stars Henry Winkler, and he's great in it.
And it's called Barry.
Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. Thanks, Jay.
Yes.
Good
check
one.
Out the reviews.
Okay. All right, buddy.
Hardy, you got anything on that? You heard of it?
Nope.
Barry.
Don't know anything about him.
Hitman who finds himself in an acting troupe. T.C. on the highway. T.C.
Hey, man, hey, listen, real quickly on Giselle, I think she's ugly as hell.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, stop it.
I do, man. I'm sorry. Preference. But anyway, let me get back to Tom Brady. Yo, I think he sounds like a petulant bitch right now, man. Oh. All that retirement and all that stuff. I mean, yo, I was feeling him up until he ran Jimmy G out of town and then started talking about this retirement nonsense. Yo, that is a straight stain on his legacy for me. It's really making me, like the other caller said, he's a tool bag now. It's like you see him and it's like, you know, I don't have that same love for him that I used to. Do I want him to win? Yeah, but I'm not feeling him as an individual anymore. If they were to trade him tomorrow, I really wouldn't be upset. As long as we had something to fill in the hole.
What if, TC, you had a choice where Tom Brady could either hold out at the start of training camp and however long a holdout lasts, or he has to do it this way, which is do interviews with Oprah and try and create leverage the way he's doing it? What would you choose?
I mean, listen, man, I understand what you're saying. Definitely, I understand the leverage angle. But when you're Tom Brady and you have the money that this man has, all right, all that financial angle and trying to hold out for contracts and all that, that's nonsense, man. I mean, you can't come out here speaking this yogi mantra stuff about how much you love the game, how important it is to you, and then in literally, what, 6-7 month time period, your whole spiel has absolutely 180. And you know what I mean? So, I mean, now I look at him like he's a fraud. You know what I mean? I feel like he's a fraud, and I feel robbed as a fan.
This man uses harsh language. He should be a columnist.
I like TC. He's got good phone.
Very colorful.
He's got a good phone diction.
Yeah.
He comes in hot,
too. He doesn't hold back. No, he is not going down the middle.
Nope. Upset. Very upset with the way it has gone. With Tom Brady, 617-779-0985. More with Dan Shaughnessy coming up. More of your phone calls on Brady show suggestions, which we're taking all day. The binge-worthy shows of the summer of 2018. Looking for newer shows. Newer ones.
Yeah. Hook.
Okay? Yeah. Dan's dates, of course, at 12:50.
Ooh.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Dan Shaughnessy with us in our Town Fair Tire Studios. We're talking about Tom Brady's interview with Oprah, which has everybody all kinds of fired up. Derek's in Amherst, New Hampshire. Hi, Derek.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. So I think I'm on the TC train. Flat out, I'm on the TC train. It's his brand. The whole Brady brand. Like, it's gone awry. And I just, it's hard to be as big a fan as I once was of him. And then if you throw in the fact that it appears that Brady chased Garoppolo out of town, and then less than 12 months later, he is on this, I don't know how much longer I'm going to play jam. If that actually happened, I don't know how you can defend the guy. I really don't. Like, I think that is so incredibly weak from a character standpoint. If he literally told them that he was going to be around for X amount of time, and now all of a sudden he's not, I don't know how you defend the guy.
Well, I'd agree with you on that. I just think that we're in this awkward position of not knowing if it's real or not, and if he goes through with that or not. Right? As much as we say it,
how does it
feel to me right now? It feels to me like it's one or two more years, and that's bull crap. And if it happens and it plays out, we will say as much.
It feels like when
what if he does play four or five?
It feels like when he talks about football like that, that passion isn't there like it was in that Peter King, you know, podcast. And this is why I say it feels like that punching the clock thing. Not from what I saw at practice. I didn't see practice. It's from the way he's handling any of the football talk. And doing what's required. I think Gronkowski's kind of the same too. But like the people I've talked to said, Brady's working out like a nut. Like, where do you see him? He'll be ready.
Mike is in Bridgewater. Hey, Mike.
Mike!
Hey!
Hey!
Hey, Zoe!
Hey!
Hey,
hey, Mike!
We need the real Phil weather report here.
What's that?
We need the real Phil weather report today.
What is it?
Let's go. It's hot. I know that. I don't know. You tell us.
All right. You need me.
All right. It's not that
What's it feel like when I go outside? I haven't gone outside yet.
Right, we'll do it later.
Great. We'll do it later. Beautiful I'll day. Reset it.
Beautiful
it,
day.
It takes me to a place when I walk outside. I close my eyes, and I'll tell you where it takes me.
Joe in Providence. Hi, Joe.
Hold on, boys.
Hey.
Hi, Joe. Joe.
You know, I'm a Pats fan, and I love watching us win, but there's going to be some great satisfaction when this guy hangs up his cleats, and I don't care if he does it tomorrow at this point. You fans that are calling in, you got to be kidding me. You got franchises that are dying to go 500 to sneak in the playoffs.
Playoff
the guy's taking us to 8 Super Bowls, and you're calling up, oh, well, you know, I think the guy's a fraud.
Yeah, get out of here.
Yeah, well, who needs this guy around? We could trade him tomorrow. And get who? Like, did you see these other franchises going 10, 15, 20 years without a franchise quarterback? How spoiled can you be? This isn't baseball. You can't just go buy somebody. You need a miracle to get a franchise quarterback in this league. And the fact that they had Garoppolo behind him and he wanted him out, I don't blame him. I don't blame him.
So in your mind, Joe, there's never a valid criticism of Tom
Brady. Yeah, I was just going to say.
So what's the point?
The notion that they got Garoppolo and he wanted him out and you're okay with that. I'm sorry, that's not okay. If you're a fan, you're not okay with that. You want as many good players as you can. And the fact that you it would be catering, you have to cater to a guy just because he's uncomfortable with a guy here. That's nuts.
Well, I think you don't have an issue. You don't have an issue with it if the guy sticks around for 4 or 5 more years, like he said he was going to do, and performs at the same high level. Then you'd have no issue with it at all.
Right.
What's,
we don't
what's
know,
the issue?
We don't
there
know where
is
that's
no
going.
Issue.
Right.
There is no issue. And if that were to not play out, then you do have an issue. You say, what is this? You said one thing and then did another. This is valid. But if you just want to play it, that he's good and he's been good for a long time, well, then what are we doing? Shut it down. Dominic and Newton. Hey, Dominic.
What's up, boys? What's up, Zoe?
Hey, sup?
Good weather today, huh?
I don't know. I'm going to go outside soon.
Oh, it's good. I'm telling you, it's beautiful.
Is it nice?
Yeah, nice. I'm working in it, but it's, you know, I'm surviving.
Oh, good.
Anyway, TBT right now, let me tell you, Garoppolo is on the board, and we're looking to get rid of one of the two. Turn back time. Who are you getting rid of right at this point, right now?
What?
Wait, who are you?
Well, he's saying
so
if you could do it over again.
Throw back. Go,
which,
so go
guy,
back.
Which guy would you get rid
go
of?
Go back to that, yeah. This time when they go back to the time when they got rid of Garoppolo?
After all this, say the Garoppolo thing.
Okay, I get what you're saying.
Okay.
All right, now that he said these things, what would you do? If you could go back in time, what's the play? Keep Garoppolo, dump Brady right now? Is that what he's suggesting?
I don't know.
Suggesting?
Yeah. What would you do?
That's what Felgie would do.
If you knew it. Oh, so you listen.
If he's being genuine right now, how could you argue against it?
Yeah. See, I don't think he's being genuine. I don't think you just, all of a sudden, in a matter of months, just, you know, I don't know now.
If you knew he was only going to play one more year, you would have kept Garoppolo.
Yep.
Most people would say that.
Yeah.
You could be saying, well,
would you trade, it's always been, would you trade the last few years of Brady, the last run, the last 4 years?
No.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't.
No.
If it's a last one, if it's a single year.
Single year, yes.
Yep, I would trade the last single year of Brady for the future of Garoppolo. Yes, I would. I think that's an easy one.
When you said that thing about trading years, remember when Mike Wilbon said he'd trade 5 years off his life if Michael Jordan came back and played again?
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. That's not a trade I would make.
Give up the last 5 years of my life if he'd just come back.
Desperate. David's in Westboro. Hi, David.
How you guys doing?
Hey.
Tom Brady has been the most subservient, transcendent superstar in North American sports.
Are those good things?
He only asked one thing, that the coach be committed to winning. And what happened in the Super Bowl
now it's the Butler thing.
Proved that Bill Belichick was not going to allow Malcolm Butler, who started
I'm not buying
his career
this.
As a Super Bowl hero, to end his career as a Super Bowl hero. And when Brady saw that, he realized this coach, who I've given everything to, given him cap space, given him loyalty, never questioned him publicly despite the coach ripping him publicly. He said, you know what? I'm not doing it anymore.
Okay,
I'm
so not. you seriously think
45 for somebody else, he won't do it for Bill.
All right, so you seriously think Bill did not want to win the Super Bowl?
Bill Belichick wasn't going to win with Malcolm Butler being a hero again.
So that, knowing he was going to lose without him, he chose to lose the game.
He chose. Did you watch Jordan Richards running around?
I watched the game. Yes.
Do you really think that's in the best interest of any football team?
I saw Bottomosi arm tackling. Yes, I saw the game. I was there. But you seriously?
Own two kids. Is that in the best interest of the team? The mortar kick, was that the best interest of the team? The Steven Jackson game plan in Miami, that blew home field, was that in the best interest of the team? How much do you have to see before you realize? This coach,
he doesn't want to win games?
But no. Dan, that's what he's saying. Dan, David is not suggesting that the guy doesn't want to win games. He's suggesting
he
at his own.
He wants to be the smartest guy in the room.
Thank you.
He's rolling
the
dice.
His ego gets in the way.
Yeah, rolls the dice.
Exactly.
You picked the five times it blew up in his face.
Brady sacrificed his life to be the best quarterback he can, still at age 41. And the coach does not appreciate him. That's where that word comes from. Bill Belichick thinks it's him. Bill Belichick is so egotistical, he thinks it's him. And I got news for you. Look at the roster besides Gronk and Brady. Despite cap room, he's paying those guys combined about $15 million less than he ought to. Yet all he's got is special teamers. Who does he have on that roster anybody wants? How is that possible?
He made the Super Bowl with special teamers then.
Yeah, he made it because of Brady playing ridiculously well. MVP.
I see.
Are you kidding me? Brady insulates him from a lot of stupidity. And Brady's tired of it.
It's a pretty smart call. It's a good call.
I think it's a dumb call.
No, I think it's a good call, Dan. I mean, Brady has, for the most part, put his ego off to the side.
But I say it's a smart call because
Brady's the player. Belichick's the coach.
But this is
the way it works.
This is the tug and pull. And I say it's a smart call because it brings up the other side of it. Now, Bill hits 4th and 2. It's the greatest call,
Dan,
in coaching history.
Dan, this team expects more out of you in terms of putting aside any ego than any other team in the league. And that's a part of the good. I mean, that's good for them. That's worked for them.
Yeah. And it seems
not pretend like that. That the way the Patriots operate is the norm in professional sports.
But where
it is not.
Where is the list of offended ex-players that actually were good here? I mean, all we have is these bums who are here for a half hour who say what you're saying. The guys who were here,
anything.
And you know, we see them on TV. What I'm saying is, where if you're right, why doesn't Randy Moss say that? Why doesn't Teddy Bruschi say that?
Because I'm not talking about it being tough or difficult or any of those things. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that it's okay and it works if you say, hey, we're all about team. We're all about doing what's in the best interest of the team. Mm-hmm. That's what they've preached for a long time. But then there are some cracks in the moral high ground there that Bill Belichick stands on when he does things like bench Malcolm Butler, and it's not in the best interest of the team. Where the guys look at him and say, hey, we're on board with what you preach. But now what you preach is not what you're practicing.
All right, assign a portion of Tom's grievance is to Butler and Guerrero.
Guerrero is like 50%. Butler is like 10%.
Okay, all right.
It's minor. Right. It's not that,
you
it's
know,
not the driving
If you
want to
say Butler's 10%, I'll go along with that. This guy that's just called, Butler's 100%.
I don't think it's 100%.
I just think
I think it may have been a straw that broke the camel's back.
It's a tiny little factor for any player, and any player would be frustrated if you think, even for a moment, you have a coach who is willing to forego winning in order to preserve doing it his way. And that's what the Super Bowl felt like.
Well,
and a few of those other examples that the caller just brought up. I mean, there's no other. We're only left with our own explanation.
All you
because
want is an
they
answer.
Won't say. They won't
right.
say.
Give an answer. Give us an answer. Why didn't you play him? Brady said it. I didn't ask. You don't ask. He makes a decision.
He probably didn't ask because
Amendola
told he wasn't going to get an answer.
They don't know. None of the defense, but none of them know why a guy that played 98% of the snaps did not have a single snap in the biggest game, where 2 weeks prior, you're depending on him to make stops against Jacksonville and their receivers who were better, and then all of a sudden you face another unit that doesn't have great receivers, but yet you don't play them. It's a head scratcher, man. It's a head scratcher for a player. It's hard for players to, I don't know, accept it and move on. I think if you give him an answer, I think Brady would have been fine with the Butler decision. I guess, okay, you gave us an answer. You told us why you went for it on 4th and 2.
So
defense
couldn't
stop him.
So who knows?
We didn't want to give the ball to Peyton Manning. We got a bolt.
None of the players know. Who knows?
Bill
and Matt.
Ernie?
Sure.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah. You're boxing
Josh?
Out.
Hardy has headlines. 90 seconds. No commercials. Don't go anywhere.